Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast, our second edition of the 2015 season, which started the minute we started the Shutdown Fullcast 2015 podcast season. So remember, college football's already started. Congratulations. Even though we are formally past the solstice, we are formally past the halfway mark, which we passed this past week between football and no football. So on the downslope towards college football's beginnings, I am Spencer Hall, editorial director of SBNation.com and founder EveryDayShouldBeSaturday.com. Joining me from beautiful Brooklyn, New York City.
That's me. This is Ryan Nanny. On the Downslope, by the way, would be a really good name for like an album by the Wallflowers.
Yeah, but that implies like if there's a good name for an album by the Wallflowers, that implies that there is a good album by the Wallflowers.
No, just name. Just name. Okay. Also, the Wallflowers are Dylan's best work.
Whew. Man, spicy. Laying down the napalm in the first 2.5 minutes, but you're right.
Piping right there.
But you're right. Bob Dylan is trash.
I don't know who that is.
It's absolute garbage. Just basura.
He's like John Popper, but he can't sing.
I mean, he's got some good album titles.
He's got great album titles. And man, he really does a great hobo imitation.
No, that's also John Popper that you're thinking of.
Oh, man.
Harmonica belt.
John Popper, that's a hobo who finds his food. He takes the milk and honey route every time.
King hobo.
King of all hobos, John Popper.
Guys, I broke into the cheese rail car.
Again.
Again.
Listen, they just let him in out of respect. That's great. We went off the rails on a John Popper, Bob Dylan sucks tangent and ended up with him eating a pile of cheese in the first 3 minutes of the podcast. Joining us from Kennesaw, Georgia. Kennesaw is your proper address, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that'd be Jason Kirk, college football editor at SB Nation.
What's happening?
Tonight, we have a lot to discuss. First of all...
That's not true.
It really is. We have an unusual amount of material.
Like three things happened this week.
All right. Let's burn through them as quickly as possible.
55 minutes. Oh, blazing. 55 minutes to cover three topics. We have to discuss Bobby Bowden, who did have some things to say about Jameis Winston. He said things about Jameis Winston before. And I should make it clear that Bobby Bowden, I believe he coached Florida State at one point, correct?
Was he
like... passed through the you're talking about the former West Virginia coach, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know he coached there.
This is I think he was one of Jeff's cousins, assistants, something.
Maybe.
I mean, Jeff was running the team. Let's be honest.
He's a part of the Terry Bowden tree.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. See, any relation to, let's see, there's Jeff, there's Terry, and I think that's all the Bowdens. Don't think there's another one.
Branzino Bowden.
Branzino Bowden.
Yeah.
Man, I love the source. So good. Gave himself 5 mics. If you followed that all the way down the wormhole, that's about a 3 to 4 5-star reference there. So,
I'm sorry. I should stop talking this week. I'm ruining everything pretty quickly.
I appreciate that, though. You are the corrupt builder who takes state money to put 5 off-ramps on every single highway of meaning, and I appreciate that. But the exact quote, we should say this. This was on the Paul Feinbaum show. And yes, Paul Feinbaum is going to phrase things the way he would like to phrase them generally to make them as inflammatory as possible. But, and I quote, Paul Feinbaum. I'm going to attempt to do a Paul Feinbaum here.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to try. Jameis Winston, many people thought he was an embarrassment to your great university of Florida State. He won the Heisman, won a national championship. He was the number one player chosen in the NFL draft. But controversy never seemed to leave him. I can't do this anymore.
I feel like you're doing like Ben Franklin.
Yeah, it was veering a little bit like, I own this factory. You get out of here.
I think you have to sort of, like, it's about the mouth shape. You have to sort of make a mouth shape like you're like a sneering, like, duck or something.
Including on the day he was, no, man. It's just not in my soul.
Get like Heath Ledger Dark Knight with it.
He was sitting there in Bessemer, Alabama. No.
That's much closer.
I just start doing Tom Waits. What are your thoughts on Jameis Winston? Man, Paul Kleinbaum is so damn good at his job. Because he sets up this whole thing, a bunch of like, sort of like, either insensitive or quasi-racist Alabama fans listening, right? And he asked Bobby Bowden, what are your thoughts on Jameis Winston? He's so good at his job. There is no way this question can go wrong. So this is what Bowden said. And I'll read it in what is actually Bobby Bowden's voice. I think it's a consensus among Florida State fans and boosters that he was an embarrassment in a lot of ways to the university. I say. He won a lot of ball games, probably one of the best football players that ever attended Florida State, but he hurt himself on the field. The good news is that he's young enough to get over that, you know it? And he's got to do that. But he just can't make these junior high decisions that he made while he was in college. Go.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Wow.
Thanks for joining us, Coach.
Please go home now, Coach.
I have to go find a lovely hen to spend the winter with. I have failed to make plans for my yet again, a gentleman is out of doors in the most inclement of conditions.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So Paul Feinbaum asked a question that can't go wrong. You can't go wrong asking some old jerk a question about Jameis Winston.
And you know what? FSU Twitter, they had them knives ready.
It was a good day.
Oh man, they got to carving. Like that.
They got to carving two directions, man.
FSU Twitter is like a velociraptor because you are alive when they start to eat you.
It was not only did you have immediately like, shut up, Bobby. Dang it, Bobby. Why'd Bobby run his mouth again? You had that, you know, like, someone put a blanket over Bobby so he can't see. He'll fall asleep. You had like that, and then you also like had a parrot.
Bobby Bowden doesn't have object permanence.
It's bedtime, Bobby.
You put the blanket over Bobby's cage, and it's, my God, everything just feared.
Give me a bell.
It's the Great Tribulation. You had that, and then seconds later you had, oh, Bobby was misquoted. Sure, he's an ass, but Paul Feinbaum twisted his words and, like, nah. Like, the tweet that went out was an exact quote.
Sure,
he could have added, you know, the good news is, blah, 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 but it's not an unfair quote, the tweet that Paul Feinbaum, intern or whatever, sent out. It pretty accurately captured the statement.
So I have a hypothetical. Is FSU Twitter so adept and prepared and skilled at defending Jameis Winston that if Jameis Winston said something bad about himself, they would attack him for it?
Could FSU God himself create a media bias so in praise of FSU that FSU Twitter would not be outraged?
I know how it ends, and you know what it is? It's going to end with an insult to Miami. That's how this ends. I don't know how, but it's somehow going to end with a slam of the Miami Hurricanes football program.
Yeah, that's sort of the peaceful conclusion to any conflict.
Right. That's how it runs downhill and finally disappears. When you divide by zero, it might destroy the universe, but eventually it runs out of material, and the net result is Al Golden sucks.
Yeah,
Gator blocking Gator.
Next thing you know, Tim Brewster's nude on your front lawn talking shit about the U.
Again. That man's a tenacious recruiter. He just takes off his clothes.
Honey, call the Homeowners Association. We got to do something about this.
You're not going to get anything objective when it comes to Bowden. I've never liked him. My mom met him and thought he was like the most sexist pig she'd ever met in her life. And my mom is not the sort of person who's particularly sensitive about those things at all, but thought Bowden was just a sexist pig. So you're not going to get anything fair from me out of it. the trick he pulled here is the oldest church biddy, old Southern, like, bullshit ever. And it's this. It's when he says, by the way, as somebody who still gets paid $250,000 a year to raise money for Florida State, still, he manages to sandwich this in. It's the consensus among Florida State fans and boosters that he was an embarrassment in a lot of ways. Some people say he's an embarrassment.
Yeah. Did I say that?
No, well, no, not I, Bobby Bowden.
I did months ago, basically, but everyone forgot about that.
Yeah, no, this is the most cheap, like, secondhand, underhanded crap ever for him to say that.
I declare.
My cousin saw Jameis Winston not returning a shopping cart at Target.
FSU fans and boosters declare. One, I don't declare.
One might assume in Paris a gentleman would naturally assume this. Like, yeah, that's
far,
yeah,
be it from me to imply. Mm-hmm. However. That's, yeah, getting into like the Auburn accent.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, exactly. You're edging over into Vince Dooley territory right there.
Oh, Mr. Dooley would never pull such a stunt.
Oh, listen, Vince Dooley's got church biddy tricks that
scurrilous.
Just the most, like, Vince Dooley would probably like raise an eyebrow, and you'd go, "What a cutting remark! My God,
that's a whole Dooley family trait right there."
except for Mama Dooley. Who, Barbara Dooley, may be the most quotable person in SEC history. But I digress. This is a conversation that once I entered this conversation, I wanted no part of any side. It was a completely unsavory, like, this is a Bobby Bowden versus FSU Twitter versus Jameis Winston. There's no side you can take
posted
here that's comfortable.
By Paul Feinbaum.
This is that thing where you put a bunch of rats in a pit and they all slowly eat each other.
Yeah, you just
and then Jimbo takes the last one standing and he gets him drafted eighth the next year.
What?
Damn it, Bengals! Why'd you take Giant Rat from Florida State?
Well, their offense is really hard.
He plays it in an impossibly complex offense that doesn't run the ball ever. So I guess we have to take him.
Yeah.
It's pro style.
They gotta play acid Tetris, not normal Tetris at Florida State. So those guys are real smart.
Jimbo's running Dr. Mario while everyone else is just running basic Tetris.
Yeah, there are so many unnecessary challenges added to that offense. That's my favorite thing. I don't have a side, FSU, the Winston Mariota debate that went on for like the 18 months or so between the season.
It's not over.
I'm just referring to the span between the season and the draft, three or 4 years, however long that was.
Yeah,
it was 3. Yeah.
The thing that comes up is, oh, sure, Jameis threw a lot of picks. That's because he plays in such a hard offense. You know, at some point, why not switch to an easy offense? I'm just an idiot. I don't know anything, but I just think, why not switch to an easier offense?
Yeah, Dirk Cutter of the Bucks saying this about Jameis coming into their system. Well, Jimbo installs more than we do.
And the Buffalo Bills said the same thing about EJ Manuel.
That should not make you feel great if you're a Bucks fan. Be like, wait, hold on, we're doing what?
Y'all got a college style offense. I got the Bucks winning the ACC Coastal this year.
Yeah, it's as good a pick as any, in my opinion. I think we've more than exhausted any possible discussion, any comfortable discussion we want to have. I'll just enter a room with Paul Feinbaum, Jameis Winston, FSU Twitter, and Bobby Bowden, and just go to a different party. For instance, it occurred to me this week that none of us really know who's starting anywhere. Because
I hate that you came up with this game. It's so rude.
It's a very rude. This is an extraordinarily rude game.
Well, we don't know why, because Bill C. hasn't written about these teams yet.
Yeah, I'm not expected to know anything until Bill C. writes about them. And then I will pass it off on local radio as if I came up with it.
That's really the reason that Bill C. is employed where he is so that we can read all of his previews and just regurgitate them.
I hope 1 year he holds us hostage. He's like, hey, motherfuckers. I need $2 million.
or you're all going to sound like idiots when you do Louisville radio.
Can I talk you down to a $2,000 raise?
Yes.
Maybe.
Correct.
The question I have for you is this. None of us, we're going to do this in equal turn. But to give you an idea of how little we actually know going into the preseason, a naked exposure of our ignorance is well overdue and I think fitting. Just so everyone will feel better. Because I have in front of me the starting quarterbacks for each team in the Southeastern Conference. Jason Kirk, you have the starting quarterbacks or projected starting quarterbacks for the Big 12, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And for some reason, because he's stupid.
Because I'm stupid.
So stupid.
So very stupid.
Ryan Nanny has the starting quarterbacks for the Atlantic Coastal.
ACC!
Oh, for the ACC.
I have ACC bias.
Okay, so you and seven other people have ACC bias, and we will save them for last because I believe they are the funniest.
All right.
So let's go through. I know the answers. You two gentlemen, being of honor, have not looked in order to look better than you are. We're going to go through every single team, and you are going to tell me who the starting quarterback is. I'll start you off easy. The SEC West, Mississippi State.
Dak Prescott.
Correct, Jason Kirk.
Are you keeping score? Because I intend to win.
No.
Okay. Can someone out there please keep score?
Please keep score for Jason.
Let us know how we
please,
do.
Please rewind. Start over.
So 15 hours later, Jason Kirk will be able to claim a meaningless victory. Where? Please.
There's no meaningless victory.
Remember those Titans.
Not the Tennessee ones.
No, because that involves victory.
Well, no one has ever... remembering requires foreknowledge.
Oh.
No one's ever heard of them to begin with.
Oh, man. I think you mean the blue Vols.
The left Vols.
The left Vols. On Saturday, I support my Vols. And then, on Sunday, I support the Vols over to the left.
The Sunday Nash Vols.
But yeah, this, you know what? I call them the Sunset Vols.
The Legends. The Vols Legends League team.
Exactly. The Shitty Vols. I support the Shitty Vols.
The old Vols home.
All right, so that's one quarterback we have.
We've made
real progress.
Great, okay.
Number two, we're bouncing to the east, Tennessee.
Oh.
Josh Dobbs.
Damn it.
Correct. Josh Dobbs, a.k.a. Space Dobbs.
Space Dobbs.
Yeah. So that's it. We were two for two, collectively. That's two for Jason Kirk.
Oh, we're working together. Okay, that's
fine. Well, maybe. No. I have you.
No, it's unclear.
No, we can pool our points. That's totally fine. I'm a team player.
Three, staying in the SEC East. Starting quarterback for Missouri.
Matty Mock.
Yep.
Oh, man, one for Ryan Nanny. That is correct.
Hooray, I contributed.
Matty Mock, who, by the way, threw 25 TDs last season and 13 interceptions. And was also, like, threw below 60%, which, given as horizontal as that passing game can be, not particularly impressive. Doesn't matter. Missouri's probably going to win 10 games anyway. They just do. Over in the West, let's go to Arkansas.
Brandon Allen.
Yep.
There you go. That is correct. Brandon Allen. Hopefully a much improved Brandon Allen to take the field, because if he's good, Arkansas is going to whip some ass, just straight up all hog for 2015.
Great ass.
Brandon Allen. He's got a great ass. Remember, if you're going to be in Arkansas, you have to have a great ass per Brett Bielema, not us. Five. Let's see. We're looking in the West. The starter, projected starter, for the Auburn Tigers.
Jeremy Johnson? Josh Johnson.
There you go. It's not... Yeah, that's something Johnson.
Oh, something Johnson.
Jeremiah Johnson.
It's going to be really hard not to call him that, isn't it?
Jonas Johnson.
Robert Redford is Auburn's starting quarterback.
an amazing performance.
Isn't that what they had for like a decade before Gus came back? That
sounds right.
Like, he could have worked.
Yeah, he could have. He could have. Robert Redford. Hey, listen,
you would barely even notice.
Was he any worse than Chris Todd?
Yeesh. Shit got real.
Six bouncing back to the East. We're pretty good so far, and I really like this dude. Actually, Kentucky's projected starter,
Patrick Toles.
Nice. Correct. Who I thought was like, maybe this is my like Kentucky bias showing. And my Kentucky bias being, wow, they have a competent quarterback.
Wow, they're going to beat Florida.
Well, they probably should have, so.
Yeah, they should. Yeah, should have, would have, could have, buddy. Huh?
That's right.
Hey, y'all celebrate that streak, man. Hang on to that one. That's a big deal.
Wait, listen, we will take what we beat
Kentucky
get,
a lot.
Listen, family heirlooms. Listen,
that's Kentucky.
Family that heirlooms is, that don't is a have to be valuable.
Power conference program.
Hey, listen, 38-1 last year. That's all you need to know about Kentucky. 0-1 against Florida, am I right?
That is literally all you need to know about Kentucky.
Do the math.
Let's see, which is a really fun thing to say when Florida and Kentucky fans are arguing, right? Y'all do it.
You don't understand. We went to Kentucky and Florida because we don't do the math.
Can we get a Vandy fan in here to do the math?
Does it involve fraud? Then we can't do that math. It's not done. So thus far, I think we're doing pretty well. It's about to get a little bit shakier as we go down the list. Okay,
all right.
Not quite yet. You got another couple of easy streets. And
Jason, how many more do you think you got in you? Because I think I only got two, maybe three.
Yeah. Well, if we each have two or three, we'll be pretty much done.
All right. Hit us, Spencer.
Yeah, man, it's about to get real hard. Not yet, though. Number seven. SEC West going to the University of Alabama Crimson Tide.
Well, it could be Jake Coker.
I was going to say, Jacob Coker?
Could be Everett Golson.
Yeah, I mean, that's our default answer.
All right. We should have just said Everett Golson for just all Lane these. Diffin. Everett Golson's the answer for all of them. We win.
Yeah, slick. Nice. Count it. Next. On to the ACC.
There you go. Okay. So I will give you double credit for Jake Coker and or Everett Golson. No, you can't just answer Everett Golson for all of them. You've exhausted the Everett Golson ticket.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Needed him for Georgia.
Taking this game over.
All right.
Staying in the SEC West, Texas A&M. Do you know who the starting quarterback for Texas A&M is?
Well, it's little up in the air, isn't it, with Kyle Allen.
There you go. That's our projection.
The entrenched starter, but they also got a five-star coming in. I'm not sure if he's officially locked down the job.
No, he is not. That is clear. But our projected starter that we will give you credit for knowing is Kyle Allen. So Jason Kirk on a rampage
just
here.
Just killing it.
if you get this one, I'm actually going to feel bad for you. Number nine, going to the SEC East. Way, way down in the SEC East. Who's the starting quarterback for Vanderbilt?
No idea.
I have no idea.
I think Philip Rivers' brother was there but left.
I like that you both immediately surrendered.
Well, it's a Commodore.
Patton Robinette.
You know Patton Robinette? He was the opening day starter last year. However, the projected starter for the moment is Johnny McCrary.
Yeah, that's
a new name.
Sure, wouldn't have even known that was a
you could have
player.
Thrown out any name at all.
Yeah, I will give you another name too, which I guarantee you is one of those guys who you know will win a bar bet in like maybe 8 years if people in bars remember who he is, but who they won't. 2014 potential starter for Vanderbilt, Wade Freebeck.
You know what? Vanderbilt quarterback or character on Nashville would be a hard fucking game.
That's Wade Freebeck. He wrote hits for Reba back in the day. okay, so we missed Vanderbilt, and that's really nobody's fault but Vandy's. Number 10, going back to the SEC West, replacing a legend. Who's going to be starting for the Ole Miss Rebels?
Chad Kelly.
Chad.
Okay, he could.
Likely. It could be
dude, he's got a gun. What, you going to tell him he's not?
You going to tell him he's not starting? He'll spray down this whole motherfucker. He said it.
You want to talk about entrenched? Motherfucker is literally entrenched.
He's entrenched in a damn bunker on the beach. The beaches of Oxford.
And because he's a white dude in Mississippi, it'll be like, oh, he's just defending his civil liberties.
Oh, he just loves his family.
He just loves his family and his homestead. His homestead, it's that football field. We respect what he's doing. We're going to get dudes out on horseback with AR-15s who are just going to respect.
Were you there when Chad Kelly played the national anthem on his AK-47 before the Egg Bowl? It was magical.
Yeah, it's on SoundCloud. Go check it out.
It's amazing. No, you know, the projected starter, I am looking off of a cheating-ass list provided to me by the internet. Ryan Buchanan and Devontae Kincaid fighting it out there. But Chad Kelly...
Yeah,
I know we want Chad Kelly, so I'm going to give you credit for that.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, those other guys, they're not Chad Kelly.
Nope. They're not Chad Kelly, and they won't play the national anthem on an AK-47. Woo! Okay. It's scary how plausible that scenario is.
He won the last season of Idol.
It's kind of terrifying. Number 11. Oh, man. You know, this caught me by surprise because I thought I'd know it. I did not. Full disclosure before looking at it, I did not know this one. I did not know this one, and I did not know Vandy. Number 11, the University of Georgia.
Oh, no. No idea.
Well, is it Jacob Park? Is that the guy?
Chris Chandler.
I will give you credit for knowing someone on the depth chart because he is on the depth chart. Jacob Park is on the depth chart.
And in also, my defense, we are not going to need to know the name of Georgia's quarterback. They have Nick Chubb and like 18 other guys who look like Nick Chubb, and they bring back 4 offensive linemen. So, I mean, you could put whatever one of those Vandy quarterbacks you made up back there, and they'd be fine.
I don't know. Brian Schottenheimer's their offensive coordinator. This isn't going anywhere good.
Well, he knows how to run the dang ball, don't he?
Vandy transfer Quentin St. Paul.
I think that UGA is actually going to have a successful quarterback via my rule that a quarterback's name has to work both forward and backward, because their projected starter is Bryce Ramsey.
Oh, yeah.
Ramsey Bryce is much more terrifying.
Yes, but Bryce Ramsey, manageable.
Much more Georgia, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Jacob Park, I'm not favoring him as much because Park Jacob is,
Park
you know,
Jacob.
That's more of a kicker's name.
Yeah.
It was a good TV show, though.
The number 12, oh man, Ryan.
Oh, don't do this. Don't do it.
Number 12 in the SEC East, the University of Florida.
I'm assuming it's saying Will Grier.
Correct.
All right, great.
We're not going to talk about Florida.
Moving on. We're not going to debate that one. Moving on.
It's very bad.
The less said, the better.
It's bad. Number 13, who is the starting quarterback for Louisiana State University?
Well, wouldn't we all like Anthony Jennings would probably be listed as the favorite.
It's true.
Even though.
But I think Jeremiah Masoli's probably still got eligibility over the years.
Everett Golson.
Now, you did get Anthony Jennings, who was the 2014 starter. However, the projected starter per AL.com, and I don't doubt them on anything.
So, just to be clear, you've cited Feinbaum and AL.com on this podcast tonight.
I've given up. I'm just waiting for the rest of the world to just join me.
Jesus.
Brandon Harris. Brandon Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
All right.
Who's probably got a bit more upside. So, naturally, having that much upside, let's give him to Cam Cameron. What can go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Finally, this is the one where...
Now, this Everett Golson is from this state. Can we say that him for this one?
No, you've already used your Everett Golson coupon. I am sorry.
God, the only that team was we have, stupid.
The only team we have not mentioned is South Carolina.
So, Steve Spurrier.
Yes. You can't suggest the coach. He is out of eligibility. Yes, even under South Carolina, quote, law, unquote, he cannot play. So there... There are three names and not a clue as to who is going to emerge among them. So in other words, Steve Spurrier is the coach.
Yep.
It's almost certain one will start, be benched, come back. The third stringer will start randomly without ever having played. So can we just say all, whoever they are?
Who?
I'm going to need you to name one of them. Seriously, just throw a road flare in this barn and see what catches fire. Just... Give me a shot. Now, I will tell you, my test indicates that Connor Mitch is going to be the starter.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've heard that name. That Connor Mitch is going to be the starter because we have Connor Mitch, who backwards, he's Mitch Connor. That's the name.
That's a great name.
The other two in competition are Michael Scarnecchia. No. It doesn't work in reverse. And Perry Orth.
No. Now, Orth Perry works in like a Mountain West kind of way.
Orth Perry works if he's playing for Utah State. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not here.
No.
Orth Perry in South Carolina is one of two things. He's a punter or he's a racist state representative.
Or he's both.
Now he's a state representative. That means Orth is short for some like Bible name like Orthaniel or something.
Orthodontist.
Ortholomew.
Orthogonal Perry.
Serving his 25th term.
So what we get? Like 11?
You know 10? What? I think I'm going to give you credit for 11. That is
Damn. That is
really, really good. And that, of course, went way longer than I thought. So, Jason, let's run through the Big 12 right fast.
All right, we're going to go real fast, and we're going to start at the top. All right? Let's start with Baylor.
Man, I don't have a clue.
I don't know.
Wow. Seth Russell.
Okay, good for him.
Yep. And then we'll go to the other co-champion, TCU.
Trevon Boykin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Batting 500, this will not last.
How about next? Let's go Oklahoma.
Oh, man. That's.
What a colossal pass last year.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
The likely
starter. They've got a few options, but likely. Let's see here. Let's do... How about Kansas State?
Nope. Not that it matters.
Nope.
Since whoever it is will be fine.
Converted tight end and future tight end.
Yep.
Yeah, converted whatever, future all Big 12.
Daryl Gronkowski.
A few names that we could have thrown out would be Joe Huebner, Jesse Ertz, and Alex Delton.
I like Alex Delton.
I'm a big fan of Ertz.
I think Huebner is the most Big 12. That sounds
definitely the most Kansas State.
The Huebner Ranch.
He's 37, and he's a successful small businessman.
How about Iowa State?
Well, I know that one. It's Sam B. Richardson.
Yeah, the thing with Iowa State, always just guess Sam Richardson. Yeah. I believe they still have several on their roster.
Yeah, so they're up to Sam. This is actually Sam Q. Richardson. Sam double F. Richardson is where things are really going to turn.
Mark 12.
Sam Richardson, parenthetical mountain lion, OSX.
Let's just get all the really depressing ones out of the way first.
Sam Richardson, Age of Ultron.
I'm really impressed, Ryan. You know the Big 12. I'm like blanking on the Big 12.
I think that's it. No, there's one more I can do.
No, you got another one.
Let's go Kansas.
Nope.
Michael Cummings probably would have been the starter, but he was injured while wearing a no-contact jersey in the spring game. So I'm not sure exactly what happened there.
God, I mean, it was Spencer, awful, that laugh is so fucking evil.
It was awful, but
it's, oh my God, it's, your bedside manner fucking sucks.
It's in your bones.
You need those.
All right, let's go Oklahoma State.
Oh,
who's left?
I don't know. I don't know who's left
yet.
No, I'm 0 for the Big 12 thus far.
The name is Mason Rudolph.
No, yeah.
Rudolph Mason works backwards. He's going to be awesome. He's going to be
fine. Big 12 name.
Yeah.
How about Texas Tech?
Also Baker Mayfield.
isn't he like a Wade Davis type sounded name? What's his?
There was Davis Webb.
Davis Webb.
They've gone through about nine identical quarterbacks since Cliff took over.
The latest is
Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes.
Sure.
Mahomes?
Patrick
Mahomes. I don't watch Texas Tech games, so I don't know how to say his name. Let's hit West Virginia.
Also no idea.
This guy's going to be a lot of fun, I'll give you that much.
No, I'm going to pass.
Skylar Howard, the one who
was
jawing and celebrating up a storm against Texas A&M in that Liberty Bowl.
Okay, weren't Skylar Howard, sure. So yeah, in other words,
and I believe that leaves us with Texas.
Oh, Swoops.
Yeah, Tyrone Swoops.
Or
whatever Charlie Strong thinks he's called. Terrence Sloops.
Functional strength.
He hasn't shot anybody. My man Swoops or
my man Mike Stoops.
Gerard Hurd is also in contention there.
Sure.
I'll say you guys got like five or so.
No. Yeah, I got one.
Oh man,
that was it. That was a deplorable performance on my part.
All right,
you might have been more like four, but hey, man, it's the Big 12. They'll put up yards. We don't need to know their names.
Y'all ready to run through the ACC fast as humanly possible?
Hell yeah!
All right,
yeah, let's do this.
I'm just rapid fire. Clemson.
Oh shit! Deshaun
Watson.
Thomas.
Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
Yes. Great. Yeah.
Sorry. Miami.
Brad Kaya.
Great. Yeah. Georgia Tech.
Justin Thomas.
Oh, my God. For three. North Carolina.
Three for four.
Oh, shit. fuck. Pass.
Yeah, likewise.
Or don't pass.
Marquise Williams.
It's fun.
NC State.
Jacoby Brissett still?
Yep.
Still?
Yep.
Still has eligibility. Is Jacoby Brissett our early leader for like the Ben Leard ninth year senior award?
Now that Michael Dyer's finally gone, the options are open.
Yeah, he's ready. Pittsburgh.
Throw into Tyler something.
Throw into Tyler Boyd, yeah.
Yeah. Tyler Boyd. Is it Vojtic?
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, Billy. Oh, wow.
Florida State.
Everett Golson. Sean McGuire or Everett Golson.
Correct. Louisville.
Oh, Jesus. Pass.
Pass.
Reggie Bonifon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was from last year.
Virginia Tech.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Michael
doesn't.
Brewer, are they going to try to?
It is
again?
Michael Brewer. It's
Michael Brewer? Oh, my God.
They're still doing that, huh?
Duke.
Anthony Boone is gone. So, no clue.
I'm not even going to ask Spencer. Thomas Cirque is
yeah,
his name.
Yeah, I'm out.
That sounds good.
Syracuse. That is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Maniacal laughter. Starting quarterback for Syracuse.
Starting quarterback for Syracuse is Jim Boeheim can develop talent for the NBA. .com.
Fab Mello. No, it's Terrell Hunt.
Sure.
Sure, sure it is. Yeah.
Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, this is on the... No, I will tell you, I would wait for 30 minutes, and in minute 31, I'd remember, and then I'd waste my entire life.
All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to announce who Virginia's quarterback is. The first person
wait,
to tweet at...
Coach?
What?
I'm not going to announce Virginia's starting
quarterback. No, I'm not going to announce.
You've already replaced Michael.
I'm not going to answer this question. The first person to tweet it, the three of us, the name of Virginia's quarterback gets blocked.
Wow.
Yep. Wake Forest.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I pity the young man, whoever he is.
John Wolford.
Oof.
And lastly, Boston College.
Is that still another former Gator?
No.
I'm just going to say that's Jacoby Brissett. I'll just put him at two schools.
This is a really good guess. It's Darius Wade.
Oh.
But okay. Hey, he has 8 career pass attempts.
Yep, dude. That's as many as he's going to have this year.
Yep. So I will say y'all got a good 7.
So we went 500 in ACC play.
We
won the Coastal.
That's wow. We've done things today.
And I'm serious. First person to tweet Virginia's quarterback at us blocked. You will carry that honor with you forever.
Okay, deal.
Yeah, because we're not going to unblock
it. I don't want to know that. I don't need that knowledge in my head.
What, you don't know who he is? No, we don't know. And we don't really need to know. Because you know
it's
what?
Like, it'll come. It's for our own good. We don't need to know that.
If he does something, it'll come up on the TV. They'll put his name, little Chiron underneath. Hopefully they'll spell it right.
They won't.
Won't even see it. I won't even see it. I've pre-blocked that knowledge.
Well, they're playing at 12 o'clock on ESPN5. So no, we're literally not going to see it. I believe we can actually run through some reader questions right fast. I will go first. First is from a new ADSBS contributor.
Oh, man. Drop that bomb on him.
Peter Burks. That would be, you have a time machine and are forced to live the rest of your life in a different time period. Which, I chose at first the 1990s because, haha, I already know where all my stuff is. But I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take it back. I want to go to the 1890s because I think this was a very dangerous time to live. And because people didn't know any better, it would have seemed fun. As a kid, you would have barely gone to school. You would have been hardly supervised. Head injuries would have seemed routine. It would have been way, way fun until you turned 30 and died of tuberculosis. But I'm going to go to the 1890s. Just seemed like a wacky sort of, you know, pre-World War I freewheeling kind of, you know, a hobo-friendly time, mm-hmm. if you will. So I'm going to go to the 1890s, even though I could die from, like, stepping on a nail.
Just so much soot.
Just, you know what? You could just pee anywhere.
And you did.
Yeah.
And you did. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm probably going to go, like, 1950s. Because I feel like nobody looked good or was like, hey, we all basically wear the same clothes. It was sort of like how Legos, when I was a kid, there were only like three kinds of Legos, so you couldn't really mix it up too much. And I feel like, you know, you didn't have to think about what you were wearing in the 50s. You're just like, yeah, I'm going to wear this white dress shirt that has short sleeves, and I have the same job as everybody else. And, oh, actually, you know what? I'm thinking of Fallout. I want to live in Fallout.
Fallout time.
See, that's,
yeah, whatever, you know, era Fallout takes place in, I want to live in Fallout.
Like, all you had to do to really kind of rebel or stand out in the 50s was say, I'm not going to wear this hat anymore.
I don't want to wear this hat outside. What?
Rich, that's outrageous.
I always wonder about like times before we were born. Like, how did they not sweat?
They did. Oh, they sweated like fucking mad.
But yeah, just not on their face? They sweat everywhere but their face?
No, that's why you carried like 8 handkerchiefs on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Also, so you can duel.
Well, yeah, I mean, duh.
Exactly. Also, you know, you could wear your pants pretty much anywhere in the 50s. You could cinch them up wherever you wanted to in your body. There wasn't a waist. A waist existed wherever you said it was. You just walked up to the globe and you said, there's the equator.
No glass ceilings for pants.
The 50s. Nope. The 50s also had that, like, post-war thing where we were all trying to be peaceful. So, like, I don't think anybody got confrontational. I don't think anybody stepped to you if you messed with their shit. They'd be like, oh, man, the neighbor stole our car. And be like, well, Donna, let's not. I don't want to make a fuss. He probably needed it for good reason.
I don't know, though. The 50s have a lot of, like, suck. I will also say that, especially because the three people on this podcast are white.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it would have been bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, like,
oh, let's go back to the old days. Hold on. Mind you, I just said the 1890s, where you could pretty much,
yeah,
like...
Yeah. So...
Notice, by the way,
might have been better. I mean, it couldn't have been worse.
I chose the distance. I know. I think it was worse. I think everything was worse in the 1890s except this. It was a lot easier to change your name and fake your death.
Ooh,
that's
damn
advantage me, Jason.
Well, I'm still struggling with this one because it sounds like it's not you're starting at this point. It sounds like you're just living your entire existence within a specific time period. So I'm sort of struggling with the wording here. I do feel like I wouldn't mind if I'd bump back my birth date about 10 years, started in the 70s. It sounds fun.
I will tell you. As somebody born in the 70s, oh, it was cool. Like, you know, there really things weren't safe at all. Things weren't safe at all.
How many years of the 70s did you get?
I was born in 1976, so I got 4 good years in the 70s. But really, like, the 70s lasted until 1983 or so. You know, you don't really shake off a decade. True. Yeah, you know?
Do you know the real advantage of being a 70s baby, though, right in modern times, is that there are almost no embarrassing pictures of you. Like, the rest of us have embarrassing pictures of middle school and high school, but you just don't have them. You basically don't exist.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. Another great thing about the 70s is that your parents ended up kind of listening to music that maybe people who were raised in the 80s didn't. Right, so they listen to some really like sleazy stuff on vinyl, right? Like they listen to a lot of music you only listen to if you did drugs or your friends who did drugs told you what was cool.
Yeah, right? But we listen to a lot of Toni Braxton in my house, so.
Well,
so which is probably why I'm so sexual.
Yeah, that is. Just gonna loop that quote. Probably
Spencer,
why.
What is your ringtone?
Surprise! You'll be shocked. It was cool though, because we got like my grandparents, you know, and my parents would let me ride pretty much anywhere in a car as long as it wasn't external. Like I think when they were young, they could ride on the hood, and I couldn't do that. But I could ride they would let me ride like on the front seat without a seatbelt, in the death seat.
Until at least the mid '80s, my grandma had a gigantic Oldsmobile that I could just roll around in the back of and no one cared.
Yeah, I mean that was fairly awesome. Additionally, like, you know, pretty much anything that had to do with safety didn't happen until like the mid 80s. Like, remember in the 70s, that's when they just decided as a nation, when we decided, oh, cars probably shouldn't explode. Like that was it took a while for them to get that straight.
Yeah. And have you ever noticed that cars they explode?
I am against cars exploding.
I am mixed. I have mixed feelings.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm listening
to all sides.
I gotta hear both sides when it comes to cars exploding. So that would be my answer. What is your question, Ryan?
My question comes from Matthew Whitrock. His question: which matchup next year is most likely to go to overtime, tied 0-0? Of course, the Wake Virginia Tech Classic. Yeah, I looked at the schedule. I'm just going to throw us right on the fire. It's Florida Vanderbilt. It's Florida Vanderbilt because Florida, you know, going through some changes. Vanderbilt dealing with some existing changes. And apparently Florida lost all its talent from last year's juggernaut to the NFL. So that's your 0-0 game. And you should not watch it because you'll be a bad person.
I'm sticking with Wake Forest, who is not playing Virginia Tech this year. But right out of the gates, they got the Elon Phoenix coming to town. It's got 0-0 written all over it.
Man, you've been hating on Elon for way too long.
Hey, man, they're going to hold the Deeks to zero.
Elon's going to put up a solid 8 points in that game.
An eighter?
An eight.
Eight nothing, saying?
Yep.
I'm actually going to take this back. We're going to go. Way back. We're going to go to an old school 0-0 classic. And that would be going over to the SEC West. I'm feeling like Alabama LSU could be 0-0 going into overtime. Always on the table. And, of course, with both fan bases, you know what? LSU wouldn't be happy about it. They'll be just apoplectic. They'll be like, you know what? Yeah, that's good. This has set us up real well for overtime. I like what's going on here.
You know what else is due for 0-0 overtime matchup? Iowa State.
Yeah. Oh, man. El Asico.
El Asico.
El Asico.
That's one that always ends like 23-19.
Yeah. Always.
Like, that's
always
a weird scoring classic.
It's the prime numbers classic. They always end up with some kind of prime number.
17-11.
Exactly. How did you
know? I just want to divide by two.
Not on purpose.
Not in system does not recognize two.
You're like, wow, it's the only game that makes a really great password. It's all prime numbers.
It cannot be hacked.
You can't hack this game, and why would you want to?
The Unhackable Asico!
The Unhackable Asico, brought to you by... Oh, shit, what's an Iowa...
Goodfoot!
Brought to you by high school wrestling.
High school wrestling, the single largest industry in Iowa.
And Carl's Jr. That's just a man and his son.
Ryan.
No, I already asked my question.
You got yours. Okay, so Jason.
My question comes to us from Chris Sauer on Twitter, CL Sauer. Your team has to go 6-6 next year, no better or worse. Which QB coach combo from last 5 years do you choose? So I feel like the coach most likely to bring us to exactly 6-6 is Randy Etzel. His career record is 94-100, which is pretty darn close. His bowls record is 3-4. It is so far at Maryland is 6-6-ish every year. And even his one glory year at UConn when they went to the Fiesta Bowl was still only 8-5. And I think if he gets too far above that 500 mark, that's when like 9 quarterbacks get injured. And then at quarterback, I'm going BJ Daniels, who was at USF for like 5 years, and they finished basically 500 over those 5 years. So that's my combo.
It's going to be real hard to top that.
I would like Rick Neuheisel and Gary Nova.
Ooh.
That's bi-coastal action. Two coasts of mediocrity.
Damn, that is...
I don't think I need to explain that.
That's the kind of malaise that touches two oceans.
I've poisoned the entire globe.
I mean, damn,
the water supply is ruined.
That's Sharknado of 6-6.
Okay. This is difficult because you've taken a lot of really good answers off the table.
Ron Prince.
No. I got one for you.
Oh boy.
Okay. And it's gonna be John Brantley from Florida.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. And my coach is going to be Skip Holtz. Yeah. See, it really doesn't hit you in the side. It's not the bat to the side of the kneecap until I give you Skip Holtz, and then you're going, it's got 6-6 and a miserable bowl game written all over it.
You know what I like about this Skip Holtz-John Brantley combo? They're starting 6-1, and you're like, hey, I think they got this thing rolling. I think this thing's rolling. And then they lose their last 5 games.
I do worry that Skip Holtz is going to give you a 10-2 followed by a 2-10, and you say, that's good enough.
This is not what I ordered.
No, it goes 10-2. It goes 7-5, so like it's the most painful. Like, oh, maybe it's just a dip, and then year three, the roof just caves in.
If we're talking like over the course of 5 years, Skip Holtz is your guy, but 1 year, like he's accurate but not precise. Is that what it is?
Right,
I think so.
The Skip Holtz 7-5 is like, yeah, I probably don't need to see the doctor about this.
This mole hasn't changed shape.
Skip Moltz.
All right, that's where we cut it. Just cut it right there.
Okay.